This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Good morning, Fred, and welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Yes. we've rolled out the red carpet.
Yeah, I've been over the hill, not to Tauranga, but to Whangaroa.
Oh,
Raglan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whangaroa, yeah, yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Morning, Mick.
G'day, guys.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it was interesting. My comments on Raglan, we went over for a Palestinian thing and we support the local Palestinian support group. Mm-hmm. It was fun. What my impressions were, lots of support from the young, plenty of visitors there. Some were awful. They were just racist and hostile.
Mm.
Many other visitors were trying to figure out how to avoid us or look the other way, etc. We were spoiling their latte at the coffee shop, etc. and that. But anyway, it was great, and it did remind the people, because we did a little march up and down the main street of Raglan, and there was about 20 officers or so, and it just reminded people that this is not okay, you know, and there's an issue. So, but we were in a bit like there's a Palestinian group in Cambridge from 11 to 12 by the town hall. And they're in the heart of what you call conservative white New Zealand.
Very much like here.
You know. And Raglan seems to have turned into that sort of destination for the elite. Even the hippies look fresh, you know. They didn't look like they were poor. They just looked like children of the wealthy pretending to be hippies.
Former hippies from my past who joined the let's make money
brigade. But you know, they were not reasonable enough people, I'm sure, but it was good to do it. Because there is the WSL, the World Surface League competition, being allocated to Raglan in May. So there'll be, they say there could be up to 30,000 visitors for the 10-day period, and that's a lot. So you know, there'll be a lot of foreigners around. So that was my lot, and
how big was is the group?
Where's that?
The Palestinian group in Raglan.
Oh, I think they get a lot of support. I don't know what. Just like us, we get a lot of support. Numbers vary; they go up and down, and people depending on what people do.
Yeah,
because it's been such a long tragic episode, of course, for the Palestinians.
And other people.
Yes, yeah. And other people. Now the Americans are picking on the Iranians, courtesy of the Israelis, you know.
So what are you going to throw you, Mick? I didn't bring anything. I was sidetracked.
Mine's on the kitchen bench at home.
Sidetracked by other things at home.
Well, this caught my heart. This is on Thursday's Waikato Times, and the headline reads, "Election at risk? Question mark. Hidden hurdles facing 2026 vote." And the second headline reads, "Electoral Commission in scramble as whole system is under strain." And it says here, and it won't go for, it's an enormous article, but "Electoral system is under strain ahead of November's vote, with Electoral Commission racing to get its technology approved and tens of thousands of staff trained in time. Hundreds of pages of internal documents released to the press," I presume that's the Christchurch press, "reveal the Commission is grappling with two major risks. securing legal certification for its core voting system before a hard May deadline and preparing a temporary workforce of 28,000 to operate election processes that are still being finalised. The election watchdog is in the final push of a simulation of the general election designed to stress test new systems and manual controls introduced to prevent a repeat of counting errors that marred the 2023 election. It cost $80 million for this review, upgrade, or...
Is this for nationwide it's going to be?
This is for the elections in November.
Okay.
They're getting geared up.
Yeah.
An $80 million modernisation program began under after Auditor General John Ryan found the previous election was undermined by manual process failures, staff pressures, ineffective quality assurance and some dual votes being included in the visual results. However, the Chief Electoral Officer, Carl Lequesne, said it was normal practice for final testing and adjustments to be made in election year, blah, 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 but he reckons there's no threat to the legal operational integrity of the election.
Okay.
But $80 million bucks.
Yeah. But democracy does cost, as long as it works, you know?
Yeah. Well, we had that episode late last year with the local election, and we had...
Yeah.
That must be due to come up soon.
Yeah, it must be just about being had. Yeah, this is the one in Territory.
Yeah, because was it March or April? Had to be done by a
certain
date.
I'll try and dig it out for next week.
So the system's creaking.
Yeah.
And let's face it, we have our population, we're very multicultural, so we've got a lot of new Zealanders that English isn't their first language. And so to incorporate them and so they understand how it works and how to register and all that, there's a big job, you know?
Yeah, so I think they're trying to make sure the system's up and running.
Yeah.
What have we got? About half, 6 months?
Six months to go.
Because, as you say, elections are important. And it's the integrity that I'm always worried about because... I think you, Fred, have mentioned that you reckon that electronic voting is the way to go forward, but I'm still iffy about that because it can be hacked.
Yeah.
That's what worries me.
And where was the complaints the other day where they said that people were going in and voting with, they talked about family voting. Remember we talked about that?
Yes, of course.
And you go in with someone into the polling
booth. Yeah, and they're all getting upset about that. But
if you've got someone, a relative who can't see the form because they're blind...
Or don't
understand the language. Or
let's face it, there's a lot of people can read, but they don't comprehend what they read. And some of the articles you see in the paper, I can't comprehend what they're saying. You know, it's really difficult.
If we find it hard to read, or English speaking, anyone else.
And to me, it was over in the by-election in England, where they were complaining about, when the Greens won it.
They
were complaining about people were bringing in family members to explain the form to them. And so, it's family voting, it's not fair. Well,
I think...
Is it? You know, at the end of the day, families usually vote as families, you know.
Yeah, they're talking over at the kitchen table.
Of course they do.
For example.
And that would happen with electronic voting. It would be... Junior, who knows how to use a computer, would probably do the voting for the family. Let's be real. That's the issue. I can understand.
People just need to be honest about these things.
Or just simply someone hacking into the system.
That's my concern.
Well, we had it with the New Zealand Bird of the Year.
Robert Miller.
Who
did that? Stephen Colbert or something?
Someone did it.
Robert Miller, recently deceased. He was the guy who was investigating the allegations.
The Russian
one. Russian interference.
And then
Trump was heard to say that he was glad he was dead.
That was awful.
That's a terrible thing. He's just crass.
Taking the veneer off of America off, and you just see this crass, narcissistic.
But I just hope after this expenditure of $80 million that the system is up and running, and people can rely on the integrity of the system.
I just hope people vote.
It comes down to the bottom line.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make much difference. Unfortunately, sadly, because those people who don't vote aren't going to vote now just because they've spent $80 million on it.
No, they're too far removed. And unless they could go in with their carer or with someone in the whānau or a family member and say, look, I'll take you in and I'll show you what to do. Unless they're allowed to do that, they won't do it.
Well, yeah. someone somewhere will have to say, well, okay, this is your voting paper. This is this person stands for that party, this person for that party. Who do you want? You rely on honesty, on
integrity,
But I'm surprised how much this money's been spent on trying to keep the system going.
And just and I imagine it's still similar. I was a scrutineer for the Alliance for a couple of elections.
I did that too, once.
But it was amazing the number of people would come up to me and go, oh, they didn't really understand and say, oh, I want to vote for this. They didn't. Although they were looking at the form, and we were meant to come up, etc.
They couldn't work out how to do it.
No. And it was, that's why I keep harping on about comprehension. And if you can't comprehend, if you're a bit if you're not humble enough and you're able to, you'd rather not do it than show yourself up that you didn't comprehend.
So that's...
To me, there should be, even if it's the paid for staff, but you should be able to go in and someone say, look, if you don't know how it works, go in and someone will walk you through the process, will take you through the process.
Yeah, walk you through, yeah. Good idea.
And stand with you in the booth and you say what you want.
You one time suggested that perhaps Wins could do that.
Those sorts of places, but
they've had a budget cut. They've reduced number of staff. Yeah. They don't have the time to.
Yeah. And let's face it, there's a big, powerful lobby group. It doesn't want those type of people voting. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
It's the old. When I was a kid, grew up in a Tory family. In the end, there was always the. Well, let's hope it rains on election day. And that was first past the post. Rural areas stayed national, and we've got. I think New Zealand. You look around the world, and MMP's got its faults. But, oh, my goodness, it's so much better than first past the post. Look at the UK and look at the USA and all these, even Australia. I used to think, yeah, Australia's good. It's got compulsory voting.
But I
noticed they've just had elections in South Australia. And I've left all my notes behind. But basically, they've had these elections and Labor got a landslide. But they didn't get a landslide with the percentage of vote. It's just they still have this first past the post type system.
Right, so they had the numbers, but it didn't translate to a seat?
And like the Greens got 10 or 12%, and I don't know if they got a seat. They didn't even get a seat. Whereas I like the fact that even if it's parties I don't agree with, if they can, people can marshal up enough.
If you're talking about a truly representative parliament.
Yeah. If there's 5% of the people that, or they've got a charismatic leader and they can pull in some other. Yeah. Others, why not?
Yeah, well, some people say, oh, no, you can't do that because all those weirdo parties get in. And I kept trying to explain them. I said, well, even if they do get in, what are they going to do? I said, they're going to have to form a coalition with another party. Mm-hmm. And if all the other parties think they really are loopy, they're not going to go anywhere.
And what is the underlying message of that is if something that we consider, people may consider loopy, just because we consider something loopy, the people that are voting for them might not. Or, the reality is, we've got quite a few percentage of people who are loopy.
Aren't they entitled
to representation?
We're supposed to be a democracy.
If it's democracy, if there's 10% who vote for a complete nut job, racist, anything else party, that's how it is.
As long as they don't get a majority of the seats, what's going to happen?
Well, if it does, then the parties that accept them in. For desperation for power, they're the ones who we smacking on the hand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was South Australia.
So Labor got a landslide over there.
Mm. And that's in terms of seats, eh? That's correct.
I just saw the percentages and I thought, it's not, you know, I always used to, and I still do, I still think voting should be compulsory.
I agree.
I think Wins, the government department should be responsible for making sure anyone whose client is registered.
Yeah,
that's how it is. That's your responsibility to we the people.
Particularly.
And if you want to go in and you want to vote on your voting form, stuff a lot of them, fine. But at least you've done the process.
Your working income is probably the desired place for that.
Because it doesn't have the resources now.
The political muscle to try and stop that sort of thing would be huge. They just wouldn't want to go there.
There would be a lot of money floating around.
Yeah, in a similar vein, talking about electronic as opposed to non-electronic, uni returns to pen and paper exams. Massive reinstates in-person testing amid AI concerns. A majority of New Zealand a major university, is forcing students to return to pen and paper in-person exams to bid a counter risk of online cheating and level the playing field amongst its scholars.
Oh, I hope they get over their cramps in their hands.
Mm-hmm. And can you still write? When's the last time, like Craig writes, I write a diary, but a lot of people tell me they just don't write.
Well, I don't write now. Very, very. I make a few notes, but that's about it. I don't write a letter or.
Yeah. Well, we know. Look how much physical mail there isn't. You seem to be electronic.
So this reinforces my scepticism about electronic
voting.
Some means of controlling people's actions, like
especially when the same individuals who own most of the world tend to own the.
Yeah.
Own the electronic media world, etc.
That's interesting. People keep diaries, like you say. I put thoughts to paper.
But we might be a dying breed. I don't know what the young like my young ones. I keep a. Oh, I need to what I'm doing, sort of basically. But Lisa will just. I'll just put it in my diary that I'm looking after the dog or whatever.
And it's an electronic diary.
And it's an electronic diary. It's not handwritten.
It is a dying art.
Well, reading, and this is the concern.
It's literacy and numeracy are plummeting.
And go back to my argument about comprehension for voting.
Exactly.
It's all very well having a form and all that, but we take it for granted that people can comprehend. Whether it's because they're just not educated, or whether it's because that's not their first language, etc. But just because they say, "Well, I speak English," doesn't mean I can comprehend English fully. You go to a doctor. How many of us can understand the medical forms at the hospital? What the doctor writes. You struggle.
Yeah, people do.
Instead of saying your little Fred's got a wart on his little finger.
You're talking about Latin.
It's
so long. Yeah, it's on your flange.
Digital,
metacarpal, whatever.
So comprehension's something that I think we. And it puts people off. If you can't comprehend, you won't go along and feel like you've been showing up. Hence family voting. I'm not against it at all.
Yeah, we do it at home.
Yeah, of course we do. We'll have a debate. I'd always try and persuade Cheryl how to vote. She'd always tell me to go and get stuff, and that was sort of that would be it.
Well, Margaret's the other way around. She wanted to know who would I vote for?
On a more positive note, National announced a $50 boost to working for families.
For the fuel?
The government starts on the 7th of April, which, not next week, the week after. Yeah, the government will provide a $50 boost in the in-work tax credit in the wake of soaring costs as a result of the Iran conflict. And the financial support built into working for families will kick in from April 7th and will stay in place for up to a year or until petrol drops below $3 a litre. It only go to families with children who are in work. The cut-off for the tax credit is around $89,000 of annual income for a family of one child, $112,000 for a family of two kids, and $135,000 for a family with three children. This is per week. It's going to cost $373 million if it was enforced for a year.
There's been critics of that too.
I think the IID are a bit concerned about whether the government's got enough of a pool to cover this in the general.
Is this the same government that gave tax cuts to the rich and to the better off?
And property rebates.
And spent how many hundred millions cancelling a fair deal?
Cancelling a fair deal and then buying a new one.
That sort of stuff.
It's the same people?
It's the same people. And the same people say that this is not for poor families. They get a benefit increase on the 1st of April.
Yeah, but what will that be? 3%? What have they announced?
It's 3% of 2% of nothing.
I'm just trying to think. I'm sure it says per week.
Yeah, $50 per week.
$50 per week.
For a tax credit. Which is targeted.
It is a target.
This is my dream thinking. It would have been nice at the same time as they announced that, or maybe partially instead of it, but they'd actually said, all right, anyone wants to use a bus while the crisis is on, it's free. Jump on. Jump on.
That was mentioned quite a bit.
Whether you're rich or poor, jump on. A, it would reduce congestion on the road. And Mick and I had a bit of a talk about it yesterday. Sure, if you've got to go to work and you've after work you've got to go and pick up a child or go to the doctor or look at your beach house, you might need the car for that day. But if you imagine the difference if people, instead of driving to work 5 days a week, actually only drove to work 2 or 3 days a week. Yeah, you know, there's outside thinking. This would have been a good opportunity to promote public transport.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So a few, yeah.
Because a lot of people don't go because they've never been. And so you have a thing and say, well, actually, okay, take your car, but look, if you want to save and you're not in the working for families group, but if you want to save $20 for the week, hop on the bus a couple of times.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're just targeting, and the Europeans, I think the Germans do that quite well. They often take public transport, etc., but just take the car out on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they're used to the fact that they take public transport.
Well, most people in Europe, you travel to work via public transport.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you drive to a local station, drop the car
off.
And then on the weekend you use the car.
Yeah, yeah. So it would have been a good opportunity for conservation and having a different way.
But the newspaper seems quite surprised at the beginning of the week because public use of public transport gone up.
Mm.
They sound really surprised.
Mm. But you imagine how much it would go up if they actually said, just jump on. You know?
Exactly.
You know? And people would, because let's face it, just because there's working for it, there's a lot of other poor people that need to use a car.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay, they don't have kids, etc. But a way of keeping yourself in line for what you earn for the week is if you could go to where you need to go on a bus for a couple of times, that helps your cost, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, some people are going to miss out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I won't get it because I'm on a pension. I don't get my pay rise till next month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't begrudge that, but there's going to be some people who, because of the cut-off point, will it be deemed as earning too much for assistance but still be struggling?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Or the opposite way, they aren't working but still have a car to drop the kids off and do what... Just, you know, there's... But, okay, still a credit to them, still needed to be done.
If they did it across the board, it would be a phenomenal amount of money.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say...
And that's only 140,000 families they're talking about.
Yeah. But that's why I would have used the public transport thing. I said, let's not give too much of an incentive to full petrol in the car. Let's put the incentive on public transport. Is that a fair comment? You know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Look, instead of going to Auckland to work with your car, jump on the train for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for a limited time. You know?
Yeah.
And then if you actually introduce it and you're a bit... smart about it, have a minimal fee, and then people actually on the train I could use my computer so I could do my work while I was waiting on the train. Not as convenient as my car, but oh my goodness, at the end of the week I saved $150. Spend that on the economy, you know.
Lots of course about this time, aren't
you?
Yeah, because they can, like we've just said, people are going to miss out. Close Warbrick, because people are going to miss out, will be left behind facing cost increase. Warbrick warned of the risk of cuts as a result of the funding support. As a result of the Minister of Finance's decision to have this $373 million come from the current operating allowance, which Treasury has already said is not nearly enough to keep the lights on for service provision as New Zealanders know it. We're going to see more frontline service cuts. That's her fear.
Yeah.
And
because it will be a question, well, we're going to do this, we have to pinch from somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, so you either get extra support so you can carry on working, but other people may fall short trying to get access.
And my other
services.
Argument about public transport is basically the bus is going past, and if it's got 6 people in it or it's got 36
still
people in it,
the same amount of money to run the bus.
And we're subsidising it now, which I agree with, don't you? It's a public service.
Mm.
As a public service...
comes the cost.
And we can get a bus full of people.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, well, ran about 7, half past 7, maybe half a dozen people, but from 8 o'clock onwards, those buses are heaving. They're chocking.
Yeah, full of water, which is great.
It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
But, because this goes... Yeah, and as a result of what's going on around, No surprises, electricity car sales have gone up.
Yeah, those people were smiling. Anyone was giving them a bit of a snigger about the about it, and now they'll be going, ooh, you've got an electric car.
According to TradeMe, between March 1st, 17 last year, there were 308 searches for electric vehicles. People made inquiries. From within Waikato, shooting up to 1,130 searches between the same period this year.
Yeah.
No surprise. But the press sounded quite surprised.
They shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be.
So China's indirectly winning out of this.
Yes.
Not the only country.
The big bad Chinese.
Are they still our enemy? I get confused how many enemies we have right now.
Because we talked about this last week, Mickey, about the clean car discount being booted into touch because, what was the argument?
They could do it cheaper by having gasoline and diesel.
Too expensive.
Mm.
We can do it cheaper for you. And now people...
Now they've been burnt.
But I have noticed the volume of traffic cut down when I've been roaming around town. I haven't noticed the volume of single people in a vehicle dropping.
You haven't?
No.
No, nor have I.
The volume of traffic is just the same.
Yeah.
And I've seen people pull up at an intersection and sitting there, gasoline guzzling away while, and thinking you're wasting all that gasoline.
Yeah.
Why don't you use public transport?
Mm. Yeah.
And you're right, when you go out anywhere. And okay, people do live in different housing or lifestyle blocks, et cetera. But, when you're a kid, you'd walk down to you wouldn't tend to be picked up at the same place outside the gate, not necessarily. You'd walk down to the corner and the four or six different families' kids would all be picked up by the bus there.
Yeah.
You could actually think, well, actually, Mary goes to work in the same direction as me. We could carpool. Hello. That would mean giving up some individual space and a bit of collective thinking, but, I'm sorry.
The C word.
Stand in the corner.
Yeah, of course, they've been worried about the diesel crunch forecast by Easter. Only two fuel ships are expected. This was in Thursday's paper, Herald. Yeah, only two fuel ships are expected to arrive in New Zealand next fortnight, according to the government's latest update showing declining stocks. As of midnight Sunday, that would have been last Sunday, New Zealand had 48.7 days of petrol, down from 49.9 last Wednesday. That would have been the previous week, yeah. It had 46.5 days cover of diesel, up from 45.5 from last Wednesday, and 43.4 days jet fuel, down from 44.7. But they keep talking about these companies are delivering diesel and petrol are under contract. But hang on a minute, you're going from a war situation that negates anything you might have in writing, surely.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to detour. I mean, it's going to be longer time travelling.
Yeah.
Deliver it, that's the cost goes up.
It's funny how you mentioned how China have benefited from the manufacture of electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Also, their friends north of them have also benefited from the sale of oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Russians.
Yeah. And suddenly it's like...
Yeah, they're something like $230 billion a day.
Yeah.
Well, they have oil, Our morals and our ethics
So the Europeans spurning Russian oil, are they?
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it's all interesting. Because
let's face it, Russian oil's just there and it can basically be piped across the thing if they've blown it, if the West haven't blown it up, which they blew the undersea one, didn't they? At the next door. So why would you... you could easily get out of it if you wanted to.
Yeah,
you have to make the effort, and Trump was meant to. He was meant to sort the Ukrainian war out in 24 hours, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he had this negotiation with Iran, apparently, too.
Well, and then he had this behind the scenes chat with all the war manufacturers and their shareholders, and went, "Oh, war's good for business. We don't really want to stop it."
Yeah,
it's only Ukrainians and Russians to get burnt to a crisp. Not our folks,
But if it's foot's on the ground in Iran, it'd be a different story,
Well, yeah,
there'd be a few crispies there.
There's been talk more troops have been moved into the area, Marines.
They might try and have a go at the Karg Island or something.
That'd be stupid to try and walk into Iran. It's a big place.
And, It is a big place. You know, ideally the Israelis would like regime change, and so would probably, in truth,
although
the Western world.
Although they're denying furiously that's their aim.
Yeah, of course. This isn't about the Iranian people. This is about Israel.
Yeah.
You know.
And the Americans are joining as well. This is not about, John Bolton was saying, this is nothing about regime change. This is just about changing certain aspects of the regime. Isn't that a regime change
Let's just blow up the infrastructure facilities, so we make life really hard for the peasants of Iran. Then they'll overthrow their evil leadership, and life will be good. That's what matters. But actually, all they really care about, if Iran becomes a failed state, and they'll just give suitcases of cash to a few warlords that come out of the rubble. In Iran, and then the oil will be sold, and that'll be it.
I think the Iranians are a bit more smarter than that, I'd say.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Yeah, the IAEA is getting a bit nervous about there's been some bombing near that nuclear plant.
Yeah.
They were in Israel as well.
But on what happened, this was covered, I didn't come across it anywhere else, but Al Jazeera reporter was in Lebanon. I was talking about the influx of refugees going from the south to the north.
Mm.
And there's 1 million displaced people. And a Christian monastery has opened its doors up to Sunni Muslim refugees. Good. That's an example of some charity, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise there's 15 different sects in Lebanon, Jewish, Muslim and Christian.
Yeah, they get a hard time too, don't they?
And there used to be, of course, in what was Palestine, there were lots of different, all the different faiths, Christian, all had representation there, etc., because of Jerusalem.
So it can happen, you can get interfaith charity.
Of course,
hopefully it's not the only
example. A good person's a good person. It doesn't matter what their religion is, you know. And a good person can do a bad thing. We shouldn't just think, they're good people. That, you know, those who have sin cast the first stone.
No one's perfect.
You know?
This has caught me. On Tuesday, Labour leads in ladies' poll. I mean, I don't take too much notice, but... yeah, I've got some cheer out of it. Like a poll published yesterday puts Labour in the top spot at 35.6, up 0.6, while National down 1.1 to 30.8. Greens up 10. ACT is down, is on 7, down 0.6. Te Pāti Māori sits at 3.2. The results of a general election held today, National win 38, New Zealand first 13, ACT 9 on the left. Labour would bring in 44 MPs, Greens 12, and Te Pāti Māori 4, which means a 66 deadlock.
Hung Parliament.
Hung Parliament. Either parties negotiate or you'd have to have a rerun.
That'll be awkward.
That's all right. They'll do. Yeah, it'll pan out differently. That's a long way to go.
Yeah, there's a plus or minus of 3.1.
Yeah, see, that comes into it.
Yeah, and it will depend on things like what happens with fuel prices if it gets worse.
And how the government handles it.
Yep, and all that sort of thing will come into play.
And the impact on people who are struggling despite some people benefiting from government largesse. If this goes on for too long, it's really going to start biting. And I said to you when we came in the car this morning that you've got all these cafes and restaurants and the hospitality, there's so many of them. They can't, even in good times, are unsustainable because you only got a finite pool of people with discretion. If you've got lots of people suddenly thinking, things are getting really rough, instead of spending $50 a week going for coffee,
I need to put it in petrol tanks. Yeah.
Or stick it in a piggy bank somewhere and hang on to it.
Well, that's the other thing. Traditionally, if things are a bit nervous, people don't spend as much.
Hang on to it.
I better have a bit of money in my back pocket, you know?
Yeah, so, just in case.
Just in case, so...
Repercussions,
eh? Yeah. But I wouldn't... it's too early, and I say the reality is the Tories, the Nats, have got an advantage. Their supporters tend to vote, you know?
Whereas, that goes back to that compulsory voting stuff, Which we mooted, but you had the fear, Mick, of the electronic voting.
I can see why it'd be beneficial, but it's like anything. It's like a sword of Damocles hanging out, you know.
Of course.
Life is a two-edged sword, you know. It's
So, okay, and that would be that would bring this, and I don't even know the answer to it, but is it better to, like, would it be better to have electronic voting with some technical cheating by families, et cetera, or is it better they didn't vote and it was more ethically clean?
Well, would those people vote anyway?
Yeah.
That's the thing, would they vote anyway?
Yeah.
Regardless of the
format.
Yeah,
even if it's electronic, they're probably a lot worse. You would still struggle to get them to vote.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. You know, it's the integrity that worries me.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. So, but I saw a bit of a glimmer of hope on the left. I even thought it was from Chris Hipkins. Before the scandal arose about his wife, ex-wife, etc., even he spoke up very well about New Zealand's foreign affairs and our need to be independent. But the new potential she's an MP, and she's a Labour MP, and her name is Venusia Walters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now, after Penny Hennah has left, left, she is now Labour's foreign affairs spokeswoman.
Oh, yeah.
But if you look at, anyone gets the Herald, and I'm whether you can get it online or not, but on the Herald today, she has, they've interviewed her, and I think it's a fair interview. So, but she wants New Zealand to be independent. She said, and basically she's saying, and I probably can't find it because I haven't got a pen, but basically saying that Winston Peters has pushed New Zealand far more towards America and and she said we should be independent, able to think independently.
Yeah, we're supposed to be a sovereign nation.
Yeah. And this is what she said. The government's actions have been irresponsible, unprincipled, and do a disservice to New Zealand's independent approach to foreign affairs. Yeah. Foreign Minister Winston Peters savaged her, calling her appointment disastrous and her arguments puerile.
What would you expect? I like his comments.
That's a typical response, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and it's a decent, and she's quite a, she's not just what I call a part-time MP. She studies foreign affairs and all that.
Right.
So,
so she's well-qualified
for it by the looks of it, so... yeah, so good luck to her. If Labour's got that sort of calibre coming through as...
well, they need to get some more people of that calibre to come through.
Yeah.
And what did Kip
She's an immigrant. She came into New Zealand in 1987. She's from Sri Lanka.
Right.
She must have
Yeah, and her father was an accountant, her mother was an economist. So she didn't come in as a factory worker's child, but that's not her fault.
And what is Hipkins? Luck. You mentioned Hipkins as well.
Yeah, this isn't in this article, but before there was a bit of a Luxon did a real hash job of something about the Iran, the Israeli and American attack in Iran, and Hipkins was interviewed and just said, no, didn't agree, and we've got to be independent and not just follow the lead, and it was very good. And then of course it started to get a bit of debate, and then of course the scandal about his ex-wife
blew out away. The water.
Yeah. Was it deliberate? Leave it up to you.
The timing
of it. Was it deliberate? Leaving it up to you.
You could be suspicious, eh?
And the other thing that caught my eye with New Zealand First is they've invited Alfred Ngarl, ex-MP, ex-Zionist, I suppose he's still a Zionist, into their ranks. I don't know if that's a good, from a neutral point of view, I don't know if that's a good thing for New Zealand First or not. You tie those sort of nut jobs, sort of almost Christian, what would you call it?
Fascist.
Yeah, you know, they have a real hard belief that Israel can do no wrong. And like that. Does New Zealand First really want to go down that track?
Well,
they've been going down that track. Shane Jones has savaged the Greens for wearing,
that. I think it says a lot about their politics.
If
they invite in this chap to represent them.
I just thought, he didn't come across to me as when he was an MP for the Nats. I just thought, who's he supporting? Yeah. It's a bit like the Americans. Are you supporting America or are you supporting Israel? You know, you should have communications of any country, but your loyalty should be to humanity. In this case, New Zealand,
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about... I think that was a mistake, personally. Because he's got some baggage. which you'll be pointed out for, I think, is elections.
I think anyone who talks about humanity is a fair target from these sort of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not interested in talk about humanity. It's all about money.
Yeah. And see, although I'm born in New Zealand and I cast myself in New Zealand, my first focus is actually humanity. I would never want to say, well, as a New Zealander, I'm a better person than that. I say, you know, what's the human thing to do? You know, why do we get caught? Sure, it's a sports team, go to New Zealand or whatever else, but humanity is about, you know, equal rights for all, equal opportunity and all that. That's humanity, not because I'm a New Zealander. I would think people should think the same worldwide. And I'm sure there's many that do.
Yeah, you know? But the current trend seems to be the opposite.
Well, we get caught up in nationalism. Look at Israel. Poor Israel. You know, Israel is a mess because they've got caught up in their own sense of entitlement.
Look at America.
That narcissism and that ethno-nationalism and all this. It's dangerous. That's what New Zealand First is trying to push, this sort of nationalism. And nationalism is fine if it's just for a friendly game of sport, but it can lead into fascism.
You can quite easily, yeah. And people can be easily manipulated in the interests of patriotism.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a good New Zealander if you do this. You're a good if you do that.
I was going to bring back that book.
And those are bad New Zealanders because all sorts of spurious claims. It's textbook fascist.
That's why I did some work today on that book. Remember that little book I bought him with the axe on the tree stump by George Monbiot and his friend Peter Hutchinson, I think. Yeah. And, you know, that's what they're getting is the only alternative that's popped up from the neoliberalism and the dominance of neoliberalism is fascism. Mm. We haven't had a new vision yet. There's glimpses of it with Zach Polensky, the Greens in the UK, and Corbyn had a different vision, but he got cut by that.
You just reminded me, France just had some local elections.
Yes.
And the socialists became mayor of Paris and they also got Marseille.
Yeah.
I saw that, yeah.
35,000 mayoral candidates. They've got the largest number of mayoral candidates in Europe.
Liberty and democracy was sort of a French thing.
As and when it applied. Yeah.
But isn't the polarisation interesting? The cities managed to hold off attack. Competition from the far right.
Conservatives in
small towns voted for the right wing. So it's quite interesting.
35,000.
Jeez. And I see in...
of course, Macron can't sit again because they've got national elections next year.
Yeah.
So he's done his two terms.
Yep. And they don't think Le Pen can stand because she got
She got banned for 5 years, didn't she? Whether she's appealed it, I don't know, but...
Wasn't it a fraud, type of fraud, wasn't it?
Yeah, something about funds. She got paid campaign funds or something. Yeah. A bit moody.
But who else has had elections? Germany had an election in the...
What, state election?
What do they call them? The estates have got a name for them. And they've had their state election down the bottom, Rhineland somewhere. It was part of Prussia before. They're not allowed to use the word Prussia anymore. The AfD didn't win it, but got quite a big rise in the numbers.
Which is
normally AfD has had plenty of food up in the East Germany, etc. But this is in the heartland of what you call the old sort of established Christian social democrats.
I think the old Prussia was that.
Down that way. Yeah,
because some of those other states are more Catholic and.
AfD were pretty happy about their results. Denmark, I think they've had elections, and it was who was being attacked by Trump to take over Greenland. Is that Denmark?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Prime Minister, the other woman, I've forgotten her name because it's written on the piece of paper on the bench. Well, they got less seats,
right?
So potentially, but she's resigned, I believe. Because she called it. She thought, well, we've got popular, you know, everyone got sort of together because Trump was having a go at them.
But it backfired a bit.
It backfired a bit. She's still the biggest party, but there's 12 parties that have got seats over there. you know, so
they have some multi-party.
And they usually do. They usually do have a combination of parties, and and sometimes it's the two main parties, which are on the right and the left, actually have coalitions to get it. But it's going to be quite a cobbling act to get it together. Which goes back to like the French, like here, polarisation is,
it seems to be the norm. So I wonder if Trump's going to have another go trying to buy or take Greenland now they've had elections.
I think he's got his hands full trying to
unpick this Iranian stuff.
And he's having a go at Cuba as well.
But the good
thing. Well, did you see that the good thing that got through to Cuba?
Yeah, right? through the south.
And so they should be able to. That's terrible what America's done to Cuba. The Bay of Pigs is over, America. Get over yourselves. Don't listen to the wealthy ex-Cubans that live in Florida, and just be a decent neighbour.
Well, I think last week I was talking to James, and he's saying that America's wanted permission from the Cuban authorities to bring in oil to keep the embassy going. The Cubans said no. They're being polite. I think it was the middle finger that they got. Cuba's struggling.
And there's some bits and pieces of news around. In the UK, the Greens are having their conference, and the Greens have had a huge rise in support. They've eaten into Labour a lot. And basically, they are probably the standing opposition party to Reform. I'm not writing Starmer off at this stage, but they've certainly risen under the leadership of this guy, Zach Polanski. But they've got their, what do you call it, political convention for the year? What do they call it?
Conference.
And one of the and it's going to cause contention. And don't forget, the right wing will have a field day in this. Yeah. But one of the when you put forward a motion, something like that, one of the motions is Zionism is racism. And they've tried, some in the Greens have tried to stop it going through, but it's been put forward as a motion for the Greens to adopt. So that's happening tonight at our time. Okay. So that'll be interesting if they manage, whether that still goes forward in those rules, or someone will try to put an amendment
put off
to the motion.
Potential supporters.
It'll be interesting because people will be watching that as a sign, because the Greens have probably been, the argument is the Greens should just be an environmental group. But then the pushback from the modern Greens, just like Chloe's war books, is actually, well, you know, sure, we love hugging trees, but we also want people to do it right too. Why does the Greens have to just stay as an environmental group? They should be about social justice. They should have, you know, that's to me. I'm potentially, I'd consider myself a green type of person, but I don't just, I love doing stuff with the bush and everything else, but I also want Honey and Mary, who are living in a shit flat in Frankton, I want their lives to be good too. And that's part of my ethos as well.
I think it was Greta Thunberg that made the link between environmentalist stuff, social justice stuff, and so on and so on and so on. That's just a way of a party evolving. Sort of an evolution. We're still got our environmental roots, but.
I suppose even the Greens here, even the Green movement around the world, and some of them like the German Greens, who are warmongering and all that, and they've done some sort of stuff, but they've still also been very capitalistic in their thinking and everything else. By a Green movement, all political parties now have a green tinge to them, which they didn't used to. The Blue Greens and the Nats.
Is that just a sop?
For
nationalists, blue greens.
But then let's face it, you think of the wealthy and the middle class, they're the ones that can afford to go to down to Milford and walk the Milford Track, or go to Stewart Island and look at the native birds.
I just
meant
the idea that the parties have got a green policy is like, a bit like marketing.
It's
window dressing.
But they were forced into doing that.
Yes. In order to attract folk.
I'm also saying the wealthy get to enjoy things that are nice, you know, environmentally nice around the world. So that's what's happening in the UK. In America, you might have talked about it last week, Joe Kent resigned. I watched two interviews with him, one with Tucker Carlson and one with the Young Turks, Kink.
They're
both very good interviews. And actually, this guy, Joe Kent, was the head of one of the security apparatuses.
Yeah, technology or something.
Or counter-espionage for overseas tourism or something.
And he spoke saying that there was no evidence for what...
Yeah, and he resigned because he just said...
Can't do this.
I can't do this. This is not... Yeah. Iran wasn't the threat that they made out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But his interviews have been very good. And he comes across... Sure, he's still a Republican and all that. But he actually, compared to a lot of Trumpers, etc., he comes across as very level-headed. And he's been a, what you call, an American hero. He served 11 tours in Iraq. And so we have blood on his hands because he's been part of the machine, of course. Mm. But he lost his wife and, I think, a couple of kids in a bomb attack in Syria and all that. So he's paid a personal price for it. But he came across, I thought, oh, my goodness, he comes across quite sensible. But what he was talking about with these interviews is just the level of influence that Israel has in amongst the security apparatus in America.
Yeah, we know, yeah.
And he said it's not just because, he said that, and it was, I thought this was, that's why I was going to bring the book about the axe and the trees.
Oh, yeah.
He says these Israelis and these supporters of Israel are coming in, and because they're Americans, or they talk their language and they don't have an American accent and all this, that Americans seem to have let their guard down, and they just seem to believe them, because Joe, who is actually probably working more for Israel than America, sounds like them. So they have inner access to all these intelligent apparatus and the ears of congressmen, and through their lobbies and their evangelical movement, of course, as well. They have huge influence. And we saw that. Why did America attack Iran? Nothing to do with America. It's to do with Israel.
Definitely. You know,
let's be real about it. But he was. I recommend listening to him, because he... He resigned, but there's 18 intelligence agencies in America.
Mm.
18.
Yeah.
And he says it's riddled, didn't use the word riddled, but the influence is just huge about what Israel wants America to do. Yeah, and they do it. They generally do it. But he says because they appear that they're just one of us. Go back to my thing about the axe made of wood. Yeah. It's like they appear as one of us, so we just follow what they have to say. Even though it's Israel first, not America.
Yeah, that's why they're able to get all that intel in all these countries, because they sell their the technology largely to these stooge nations in the Middle East. You know, like your Qatars and Kuwaits and stuff like that. Yeah. But they also sell it to other countries, even like places like Indonesia and all throughout the world.
Yeah. So we saw the awfulness of it with Israel, with the pages.
And the Hezbollah
the indiscriminate attack on
medical workers,
and they hadn't declared war. It was just a dirty trick.
It was a cruel, dirty trick.
That's indiscriminate, isn't it? That's just carpet bombing. It's like the blowing up a apartment tower because there might be two Hamas in it.
Might be.
You know, that was just. And okay, they might have. No doubt, they killed and maimed people who they consider bad guys. But there would have been some innocents in there as well. A child is
95% of them innocent, I'd say. So
he was very good. So I recommend Joe Kent. I thought, oh my goodness, someone like, if the Republicans could get over the Trump, the MAGA, etc., which has got all sorts of problems. MAGA, there's all sorts of problems with the Charlie Kirk's wife and the TPS. You know, he formed that big Christian organisation, and that's having all sorts of issues. So definitely, the Democrats are going to clean up. In the midterms.
Midterms, yeah. Well,
will anything really change?
Well, that's the issue, is they are, a lot of Democrats are trying to distance themselves from AIPAC, but is that just to be elected?
That's
cynic move.
Yeah, and AIPAC is that American-Israel
lobby. I would be suspicious.
Well, I think, and some of the big thinkers are suspicious. They're going, okay, you're saying you distance yourself, but do you mean that? Or you're just going to get elected?
Is it just talk?
Just talk. So, but no, I thought America is now, and some of their big, social media and podcasters are making big inroads into how Americans are thinking.
At the expense of so-called mainstream media.
And they give an opinion
too. They had this on Al Jazeera yesterday, where they interviewed people in the street and they said they don't bother with mainstream media. One guy said, I only listen to the mainstream media to get the weather. Some of them were quite articulate. No, we do take on board what they're saying, but we try and verify it. They don't just accept it.
Well, you look at now, we're getting up.
Question what you've been told.
Yeah. The young, how many of the young watched the news at 6 o'clock now? Mm. Like, I grew up in a family that we had to be quiet for the news and all that.
It'd be half of a fraction, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't be many.
No,
I wouldn't. It's older ones, maybe, as they get...
And I can understand why, because at the time I've watched news, I wonder why I bothered. Because they just parrot what they've been told from the Associated Press or CNN. They just quote whatever they've been sent.
Which means
it's cheap.
Yeah.
And you go back to the Zionist influence in the news reporting.
Well, and I say the media is owned by...
The same people. You know,
and the tragedy for me is the BBC and TVNZ and all that are meant to be state-owned. They should...
represent we the people.
They should... The neutrality should be foremost.
Like that lady
said from the Labour. Independent. Don't just put something because the Americans have sent you something from Associated Press about gold teeth in Ukraine.
But they do.
Check it out.
Yeah, but they do because they're lazy and it's about money.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the TVNZ may have to have investigative reporters, that comes at a cost. Yeah. So it's cheaper just to take the Associated Press report or whoever and just parrot.
Yeah. But it's really eating in because these social media stars on both, there's not some on both sides, they're on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing it from, you know.
They're doing it for money.
They're making money out of it. Some of them are passionate, but they're still making money out of it. Mm-hmm. These ads going through. But it's interesting because. What the saying is doing is, of course, now we can choose as individuals. We can choose what we listen to or watch or see. Whereas in the old days, when I was a kid, there was only one news channel. Whatever that said, that meant, unless I read something to the contrary or someone told me about it, you went along with it.
Yeah, those social media sites can reinforce biases anyway.
Well,
that's how the problem is.
What I was getting at. Yeah. Now. We as individuals, and I'm
guilty
of it.
You go looking for stuff you agree with.
And if I don't agree with it, I tend to shut it down and go somewhere else, which I shouldn't. And I do try and go, right, that's what the Russians are telling us. What are the French saying about it? What are the... I do try and look for an alternative source to see what the veracity is like, you know.
But that takes time and...
Of course it does. Yeah. And of course, they're often milking when they could say in 2 minutes... They milk it over a half-hour monologue.
And in a situation like this, as we've said before, you know, the first casualty of war is the truth.
Yeah, yeah. So
you're getting all sorts of wild theories and denials.
But the young in America and around the world,
Are they a bit more discerning of it?
I think there is a bit more...
hang on a minute.
You're telling us this, but this is happening? You know, so there's a few more questioning.
If the younger people that are questioning, I'm quite happy about that.
But there's other young who just brainwashed, like young Israelis, you know. And then you get, they're just brainwashed nut jobs.
Well, you could apply that to any age group, eh?
Of course, yeah. It's dangerous. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're very easy to manipulate when you're young, especially if you had it for a length and time.
Yep.
You know? So it's interesting times, but there's some definitely... Midterms in America, they say, that's what I'm scared of. They'll get rid of the Republicans will get hammered. The so-called fresh Democratic Party will step up, and it's exactly the same. It's the other cheek of the same ass as George Galloway.
Yeah, the fear with the midterm elections is that Trump may find mechanisms to curb the amount of postal voting.
He'll be doing his utmost.
Yeah, be up to the
curb. But if they get a big majority, if they really hammer him, they could go for an impeachment. Surely he's done enough to...
I think he won't be the only one they'll be after.
He shouldn't be.
And so it goes on and on.
Yeah.
1 minute it's Trump doing the niggly stuff, and then it's the other side doing the niggly.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and it's costing a huge sum of money because lawyers are going, whoa, happy days are here.
Oh, and innocent Iranians and Palestinians and Lebanese are still getting murdered.
Yeah, that's what we view it, how we view it. Ordinary folk. And with that, we're out of here. You can catch us on freefm.org.nz or you can catch up with us on the podcast. Thanks, and we're out of here.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.